Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I wanted to say at the outset that the show might run a little long today because I've got quite a bit to say and that some things have gotten under my nerves in these last couple of days. But I also wanted to make a note of the fact that we were fully cognizant to the fact that a lot of you listen to this show on demand. I mean, it's noon on a Friday. I get it. People work. I get that. But this is when we're able to do it. So I know we get a lot of requests. Can we get this done at 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night? No, we really can't. Unfortunately, we can't. Okay? Look, this has been a weird week in wrestling. And before I go off on a tangent, I did want to say that, of course, beautiful Bobby Eaton passed away at the age of, I think, 60 or 62, way too young. Someone who probably wasn't given, at least by fans, all the credit he deserves. I know a lot of wrestlers understand how great and talented Bobby Eaton was, so we extend our condolences to his family and friends. Bobby Eaton, truly one of the all-time greats, no question about that. Now, let's get started.
Marcus Kane's Don't Get Me Started.
Okay, folks, so here's the formula that happens when wrestlers get pissed off at fans. The formula is wrestlers say stupid things, engage in arguments with 14-year-olds when they're grown men, prove they know nothing about the business, and then when they're called on it by people who actually do know what they're talking about, they say, "You're a mark, I was only working them." Yeah, that's an old excuse. That's called I was caught. I'm a moron, so now I'll plead it was all a work. If you're not smart enough to engage in conversation with a 14-year-old, you're probably not smart enough to be in the professional wrestling business. So let me get right down to brass tacks, because there's a couple of people I want to take to task. One I'm not a super fan of, and the other I am. The first one is Dolph Ziggler, who I am a big fan of. Dolph Ziggler literally says, "Fans are hypocrites." And I said the same thing, and some fans are hypocrites, but his reasoning is absolutely absurd. He says fans are hypocrites because you're the people who say people like Goldberg and stuff, you don't want to see them anymore, but boy, when they come into the arena, you sure do pop for them. You're such hypocrites. Then when a fan literally says, that's Vince pumping the crowd reaction in, he says, "Do you honestly think that's what happened?" Yes, Dolph, I do think that's what happened, because that is exactly what happened. You're not talking to a moron, okay? I'm a musician. I understand how sound technology works. I understand that those chants have echo put on them. They have verb put on them. They are pre-recorded chants. And if you're saying they aren't, you're a liar. Flat out, you're a liar. I also know that when the camera is panning everyone in the audience and they can only find one poor dude who's standing up going, "Goldberg, because I think I'm supposed to do it," that's probably not going to echo through the arena like thunder. Now, this is the poison of professional wrestling, is that the wrestlers think you're stupid. I don't know when this first happened, but somewhere along the early stages of wrestling, there was the running joke, and that's why people are called marks, by the way. A mark is really a carnival term for someone you can keep stealing their money. The old shell game where there's no pee under the shell, but you think there is, and you keep laying down your money saying, "I can't find that pee. I know I'll get it next time." It's a derogatory term. I don't care what wrestlers tell you today. I don't care for us to say we're all marks in one way or the other. No, 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 no. You're fans. You're not marks. A mark is someone who still thinks it's real. But if Dolph Ziggler thinks Bill Goldberg got that reaction, then Dolph, you are a mark. Bill Goldberg was booed seconds before his intro when Bobby Lashley mentioned his name, or was it MVP? A chorus of real boos hit the arena. So we know what that arena's echo sounds like, don't we, Dolph? Don't we? It doesn't sound anything like the Goldberg chants that were piped in a few minutes later that you claim didn't happen. What you're really mad at is that John Cena got a legitimate big reaction. That's what you're really mad at. But you're not going to tell the world that. You're going to say it's the Goldberg thing. What you really want to say, Dolph, but you don't have the cojones to, is I'm pissed off that you guys all booed John Cena and didn't like John Cena, which I liked, and then when he came back, you gave him a hero's welcome. That's what you mean to say. But you don't dare say it about John Cena, so you say it about Goldberg. But your point about Goldberg makes no sense. And then when you're called for your bullshit, you say to the fan, do you really believe they piped in the sound? Yeah, yeah, we do. And you know why we believe it? Because they did. Now let's go on to Ronda Rousey, who says, fans are so stupid. Are you the same fans that are chanting Wyatt, 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 we want Wyatt? And then when he had his match, you were chanting, we want Beach Balls, which is totally disrespectful to him. Well, let me explain the difference, Ronda, because here's the problem with Ronda Rousey. You never understood professional wrestling. You know, all I heard from people was Ronda gets it. Ronda's going to be great. She's a natural athlete. I'm sure she's a natural athlete, and I'm sure she can get the actual physical part of professional wrestling down relatively easily. You have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to the business. None. Zero. None. If you're a Roddy Piper fan, he's rolling over in his grave. And I'll tell you why. The fans were not chanting, we want Beach Balls, because they don't want to see Bray Wyatt. They were chanting, we want Beach Balls, because the way that the WWE chose to use Bray Wyatt was boring and stale. Do you not understand that you could take the very best person in the Federation and make them boring and stale if you write horrible booking ideas for them that the fans don't want to see? What you're basically saying is, one of my favorite actors is in a movie, and just because they're in a movie, I have to love that movie. No, you don't. And that doesn't mean you no longer like the actor, Rhonda, rocket scientist. All it really means is I'd like to see that person's talent utilized in something better than this horse shit that I'm watching. But you don't get that. But then again, you're the person who cried on national television because people were booing you. And got legit mad about it. My advice is this. Stay away from professional wrestling. I know it's a good payday for you, but you don't get it. As far as Ziggler, I don't know whether Ziggler's just toying with fans or not. But here's the one thing you never do. Now, Ziggler says this because a fan confronted him and said, well, how much is Vince paying you to say that? And he says, no, no, no. I get paid a lot to wrestle, but my account is my own. Nobody tells me what to say on my account. Okay. Well, if that's the case and you're saying this completely on your own, you are wrong. And you know you're wrong, which makes you a liar. And I don't like it when wrestlers lie to fans. All Ziggler had to say was what he really meant, which is, I thought you all hated John Cena. And now he comes back and there's this huge, because then your point makes sense. There's this huge pop for him. But you had to use Goldberg because you didn't want to bring up Cena. And your whole point is wasted because no one wants to see Goldberg. And no one is cheering Goldberg. And then you had to lie to cover up your point by saying, no, that's not piped in Goldberg chants. Yeah, yeah, it is. You know, I'm getting totally tired of wrestlers being confrontational with fans over what they should or should not like. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't make any difference whatsoever to you. What you should worry about is why they don't like you. So I'm a Dolph Ziggler fan. So if I boo an angle where Dolph Ziggler is just being used as a jabron, it's not because I'm booing Dolph Ziggler. It's because I don't like where this is heading. I don't like his talent wasted in this ridiculous storyline. That's what was happening, Rhonda, with Bray Wyatt. That was the fan sending a message. Use him the right way. We're not buying into this horse crap. But she doesn't understand. And Ziggler would rather go online and blame fans. If you have nothing to do, better to do in your free time than to go on your account and say, fans are this and fans are that. Fans are also putting the meat on your table. Fans are also the ones who are coming out during a pandemic. Fans are also the ones who stuck with you when there was nobody in the arenas. So I suggest you don't bite the hand that feeds too hard. And I suggest you don't bite this one at all, because I bite back. Anyway, Mike, what do you think of these two comments? Because I think both of them are just asinine.
They're asinine. And look, we've talked about, you know, wrestlers with their official WWE accounts making stupid statements, right, before. It's not just Ziggler. We've had different wrestlers do the same thing, right? And
yep.
This is just a stupid statement, you know? And I would have bought it if he would have said, okay, I didn't say it. I was told to say it, you know, this, that, and the other. Because then I would have known, you know, this is coming. He's saying what Vince McMahon wants him to say, and we know that Vince McMahon doesn't give a good goddamn what the fans want anymore, you know, and that's been a proven fact. So, but if he's going out on his own and saying it now, granted, I haven't heard or seen anywhere where Vince has castigated Dolph Ziggler for saying it. So obviously Vince may in some part agree with Ziggler, you know. And that's why he hasn't done that.
Yeah, because what he wants to make the fans think that, in fact, Goldberg got those chants. But the bottom line is Goldberg did not get those chants. The bottom line is weeks after you said, thank God the fans are back, we need your voices, you said we don't need your voices. We'll use the voices that we have taped so that the outcome of what is being chanted is in our control. Well, then that's saying you don't need the fans at all. Give me your money. So in other words, if I just came up and said, look, I'm going to give you the money for the seat and I'm going home, that's great. So you really don't need the fans. See, and this is the problem. You do. You really do. But what smart people do is they utilize whatever the fans are doing. So in other words, if I ran a wrestling federation and I said, okay, well, Goldberg is coming in and I hope he's going to get a hero's welcome, and he gets booed, then I call an audible, and I say, boy, the fans sure don't like Goldberg here. He's getting a huge chorus of boos. This has got to weigh heavy on Goldberg's psyche. Goldberg is always used to being the guy that the fans admired and loved, but look, they're turning on him. It makes more interesting and realistic television than lying and pumping in sound that clearly any idiot above the age of 6 could realize was piped in chants. Dolph, if they weren't piped in chants, then please explain to me how many times Drew McIntyre has won the championship. Is he a 16-time world champion? Oh, he's not, you say? Then is Michael Cole just an idiot and thought he was a 16-time world champion, or was that piped in from somebody else's entrance? Why don't you answer me that question? Please. And then if that's not bad enough, comes the reports that I want people to remember this too. Let me preface this. Aleister Black is competing in AEW for only one reason. They forgot that when he came up from NXT and he only had a 30-day no-compete clause in his contract, they forgot to change it to 90. Their oversight, their contract oversight. Now we find out Adam Cole has received an offer from AEW because his contract is over. They let his contract expire. Yes, they did have an extension, a mutually agreed upon extension for a month until they can talk. But that's all it is. They didn't sign him. They didn't go out of their way to sign him months before his contract expired. So you know what happened there, because that's not the way the WWE does business. About 3 or 4 months before your contract expires, they start pressuring you. You're going to sign, right? And if you don't sign right away, they start jobbing you out because they want to make your worth a lot less to the next person if they think you're going to jump, okay? So you know the WWE didn't know that Adam Cole's contract was almost up, and all of a sudden they're like, oopsie, see if they'll be willing to sign a month's extension so we can work on this. Oh, and guess who else's contract accidentally expired? Pete Dunne. So you can't even run your business. At this point, you care so little about your business, you had no idea that Aleister Black's contract wasn't renegotiated to a 90-day no-compete clause. You had no idea that Adam Cole's contract was expiring or expired, and you had no idea that Pete Dunne's contract is expired. Who the hell is running the ship? Well, I'm going to take a little heat off of Vince McMahon, and I'm going to tell you why. When Vince McMahon was almost single-handedly running this company, and he's done it for many, 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 many years. Go back and listen to anyone from the Attitude Era, even more recently, and they'll tell you Vince micromanages everything, from the lighting to the booking to what the commentators are saying with a little bug in their ear talking to them backstage, costume, everything. He micromanages every single thing. Vince stopped doing that a little while ago. And Vince started saying, I'm getting a little too old to micromanage everything, so I'm going to start giving out a little more authority to certain people. And they're dropping the ball. I thought Triple H was such a mastermind of the business. Isn't NXT your puppy? How come Adam Cole's contract expired and you didn't know it? How come Pete Dunne's contract expired and you don't know it? How come? I hope Adam Cole does go to AEW, and I'll tell you why. It'll teach you a lesson. It'll teach you a damn good lesson, and that lesson is pay some goddamn attention. This is your business. You've got it on automatic pilot over there, and you think, oh, no big deal. In the meantime, AEW is really trying. You're the people who can't see your own mistakes. You're the people who tell other wrestlers, get on the Instagram and tell fans that they're wrong. We're not making any mistakes. No, that's all you're doing is making mistakes. You have zero continuity. Number one, you need a continuity director. For people who don't know what a continuity director is, here's what continuity directors do. They make sure that things you say this week doesn't contradict what happened last week. They make sure the flow of things, storylines, isn't oops, well. For instance, if you watch a show and 1 week the mother-in-law shows up and her name is Betty, 4 other episodes and then the mother-in-law shows up and her name is Joan, that's a mistake. That's a sloppy mistake, and the continuity director is responsible because they should have said, no, we had in an early episode her name is Betty. You see that all the time. WWE doesn't have anything like that. So things just don't make any sense. How long ago was it that Kofi Kingston was on the radar of MVP? You need to come into my stable. It's Xavier Woods that's holding you down. Where'd that storyline go? Where exactly did that storyline go? Gone. So why bother even teasing it? It's gone. You had no intention of doing anything with it. You had no intention of following up on that storyline in any way, shape, or form, so what's the point? Just let's get by this week and throw a branch that leads nowhere out in hopes that fans will fall for it. And we did fall for it, but I'm tired of falling for it. John Cena has actually come out and made a statement saying, if the WWE continues to rely upon people like myself and other older wrestlers, they don't have a future. Because I'm not going to be able to do this when I'm 60. What did I say on this show? I told you if you keep doing this, eventually these guys are going to say there's nothing that's going to get me back. I don't want to do this anymore. Why didn't you make some stars out of your 25-year-olds, and why are you calling me when I'm 60? But they keep right on doing it, Todd, and I see no signs of it slowing down.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about stars coming back and storylines. Like you said with the MVP and the Kobe Kingston thing, they didn't just drop it just like that, like what, not telling anybody.
Yeah, where did that go? It goes nowhere. Where did Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce having a fallout, where did that go? Nowhere. How come all your storylines go nowhere? How come? Because there's no continuity director that says, we can't really drop this. We got to keep it. Or at least if Vince McMahon said, look, we're going to have Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce have a big falling out, and we write toward that direction, and then Vince McMahon or company says, we've changed our mind, we don't want them to have a big falling out, then you're responsible as a writer and the continuity director for saying, wrap it up then. Have Adam Pearce confront her and say, look, I talked to higher-ups, and either we're on the same page or we're both gone. So from this moment on, neither one of us make any kind of decisions without consulting the other, you understand? And Sonya Deville says, okay, good enough. And then at least you've wrapped it up. It's a bad ending, but if they don't want to go through with it, fine. Same way with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. At least wrap it up. Don't leave it hanging out there. That's all you ever do. And if I was Vince McMahon and Aleister Black's contract only had a 30-day no extension because somebody dropped the ball, Adam Cole's contract ran out because somebody dropped the ball, Pete Dunne's contract ran out because somebody dropped the ball, somebody's getting fired. There's no excuse for it. You have people whose only job it is to monitor those contracts. Why don't they know this? Because they're on autopilot. The inmates are running the asylum. Nobody knows what anybody's doing, and Vince McMahon has delegated a lot of responsibility to other people who simply are incompetent. Now we know why Vince McMahon micromanaged everything. You could disagree with things that Vince McMahon did, but at least if he was micromanaging the whole thing, he knew, well, everything's going to go the way I want it to go. This is not happening. You're not going to sit here and tell me that Vince McMahon thought that it was okay to let Adam Cole's contract expire, or that it was okay to have Aleister Black on only a 30-day no-compete. Now we get the news that Ric Flair did ask for his release, and he claims, well, there were things I wanted to do. I wanted to start my own wine thing. I wanted to start my own TV network. I wanted to start my own whatever. And it was going to conflict, so I asked for my release. Now, I have very good sources that say that is bullshit, that they had some harsh words over Charlotte Flair and her booking and what her future was to be with the company. And Ric Flair, according to what I hear, put out the ultimatum, you either fix the problems with Charlotte or I quit. They didn't fix the problems with Charlotte, and he asked for his release. They were trying to fix the problems with Charlotte, from what it looks like, but he asked for his release. No one is happy there. And now the Bray Wyatt thing has added more fuel to the fire, because from what I'm hearing, top-level wrestlers, I'm not talking about Sami Zayn and you know, Chad Gable. Not that they're not good wrestlers. I'm just saying they're not the top guys. I'm talking top-level wrestlers are saying, if Bray Wyatt's job is not safe, then mine isn't. Mine certainly isn't. That doesn't make for good morale. It was bad enough when you let Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder go, because that sent a bad message that you can do everything that Vince asks of you. You can put people over time and time and time again. You can be these guys that never complain, never do anything wrong, and they'll still have no loyalty to you. That's bad enough. But now the message is, even if you're one of the top stars in the business, even if you're selling more merchandise than anybody else, we may let you go on a whim. Your job isn't safe. At no time is your job safe. You want to work under those conditions? How about if you went into a factory and they said, even if you do great, even if your production is way ahead of the next guy, any day I might just say, I don't want you here. Would you take that job? Most people wouldn't. Most people want some job security. So now, Mike, we're backstage with, wrestlers saying, am I next?
Right, and that's the thing. And look, here's the deal. We know, going back to the Ric Flair thing, we know that she still hasn't signed her contract. We know that, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
does his leaving, does that make it less, more or less likely that she's going to sign another contract with him? You know,
I would say a hell of a lot less likely. I think Charlotte Flair realizes one thing. See, you can like Charlotte Flair or you can hate Charlotte Flair. I personally like Charlotte Flair. I think she's one of the better athletes there, and I think that I don't think she plays a face too well, but I think she makes a good heel. But I think Charlotte is very smart, and I think Charlotte looks around and says, the writing is on the wall, I've done all I can do here. And unless they come up with a figure that there's no way I'm refusing, I could do much better elsewhere. I really think that's probably her attitude. And again, her husband's over in another federation, and I wouldn't be too surprised if her father didn't head in that direction soon. So we'll see. Ruby Riott, apparently, as Ruby Soho, is going to be making her debut on AEW pretty soon. Here's a newsflash. If AEW just becomes WWE's leftover brand of people that everyone likes, but they thought they were used wrong, well, then AEW is going to be immensely popular. See, this is what people don't understand. If it really was WWE leftovers that nobody liked, I don't know, who's not really well liked? Let's say they signed Goldberg. That would be a huge mistake for AEW. Huge, huge mistake. Let's say they sign some people who doesn't have a very good work ethic or a very good, wrestling, whatever. People would say, they're signing the guys that the WWE didn't want because they couldn't cut the mustard. But that's not what's happening. No one thinks that Aleister Black can't cut the mustard. What they think is WWE doesn't know how to let him do what we want to see him do. Therefore, when he comes to AEW, he will do what we think he should do, so we'll follow him there. Likewise, with all these other people, they're not just getting leftover nobodies. They're getting people who have huge followings of people who want to see them wrestle, but they want to see them wrestle to their fullest extent. That's the problem. I mean, I would argue that if John Cena went over to AEW, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it would draw a lot of fans initially, and yes, it would be a big deal, but it wouldn't be that, we're going to get great matches. It would, in fact, I think a lot of AEW fans would say, oh, man, I don't want to see John Cena do the five-knuckle shuffle to all these great wrestlers and just run him into the mud. That's what's going to happen. He's going to ruin the Federation. That's what a lot of AEW fans would say. But they're not going to say that about Aleister Black and Daniel Bryan. And they're not going to say that about Adam Cole or Pete Dunne. Because these aren't guys who the fans think are has-beens or never-wases. They're the people who fans think aren't being utilized correctly and want to see them utilized correctly. And you're letting them go to the people who will, Vince. It's ludicrous, and it shows that they have given up. I told you on this show, the WWE has waved the surrender flag. There's not a war because only one side is fighting. AEW may be fighting a war, but they're fighting a war with themselves because the WWE is just saying, forget it. White flag, take who you want. We don't care anymore. It's unbelievable. It really is. And there's no rhyme or reason. Oh, we're going to let Ruby Riott go because we think her gimmick of a punk rocker with wild, you know, entrance and a wild hairdo and whatever, you know, sort of a punk rock chick, that gimmick is so old and so done and nobody wants to see it anymore. So we'll let her go and we'll just bring up Shotzi Blackheart, who's exactly the same. Exactly the same. By the way, where'd that angle go? I thought they beat the tag team. I know. She got hurt. But still, you could keep the angle going. Instead, you're starting to feud with Doudrop, right? It's, folks, look. When wrestlers start taking out their frustration on fans, and that's what's happening, when federations start saying, we don't even care if our top talent leaves, and that's what's happening. When contracts are expiring and you don't even know it, and that's what's happening. When storylines that get started just never, ever, they just fade away, never to be seen again, and that's what's happening. We are left with no other thought than, you're not trying anymore. So the war is only being fought by one. And it's pretty damn easy to win if the other guy don't punch back. So AEW is winning this war. And they're winning it big. And the ratings may not show it yet because old habits die hard. And the WWE has a 50-year head start on AEW with fan base. But if this is the way the WWE is going to act, it's not going to take that much longer. It's not going to take that much longer. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this is probably going to shock you all. I know that Vince McMahon had made a statement. CM Punk is the only person in this business I cannot work with, and I will not work with. Based on what? Bret Hart punched you in the face and spit in your face. You worked with him. Jeff Jarrett held you up for money, and you worked with him. The Ultimate Warrior blackmailed you and never even gave you any really good performances. You worked with him. What did CM Punk do? Oh, I know what he did. He refused to work with Triple H. Isn't that funny? So is it Vince who doesn't want to work with CM Punk? Or is it Triple H who got butthurt that CM Punk said, this is not a big enough match for me at WrestleMania? Food for thought. So AEW gets him. AEW gets Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan wants to be able to wrestle to his capacity. How come you just can't let him in WWE? How come you can't just say, okay, well, you know what? Go for it then. Whatever it is that you want to do in the WWE, do it. You want to do 15, 18-minute matches? Pick some guys that you want to work with. We'll let you work with them. We want you to be at your best. That's why we're paying you big money, Daniel. It's for you to be at your best. The WWE is the only place in the world where they basically say, we're going to pay you big money to suck. I don't get it. Yeah, we're going to pay you the big money because you're a great wrestler. Now, don't wrestle. We have this really good gimmick where you're going to come out in a bird suit and you're going to climb up to the top buckle and squawk a couple times and then pick people with your beak. Oh, yeah, but I'm an Olympic gold medal wrestler, and I've been doing 30-minute matches in Japan, and I'd like to sort of do that. No, you're going to pluck and pick people with your beak. Well, then why didn't you just hire some jabron? Some jabron could do that. I don't understand why the WWE does this on a regular basis. It's because one hand does not know what the other one is doing. Vince McMahon says to Triple H, who's your top guy, one of your top guys in NXT? Probably Aleister Black. Bring him up. You want to see tapes of him? No. Do you know what he's about? No. Do you know what he looks like? No. Then he gets here, has a match, and you say, oh, he's not that big. Yeah, no, he's not. He's not a big guy. His gimmick is kind of for a big guy, no. I mean, it worked in NXT. Yeah, it's not going to work here. I don't really like him that much. Okay, then why didn't you decide that before you brought him up? Why didn't you take the time to watch some matches and say, no, this person isn't for us. It's working well for you, but I don't think it'll work well for us. Laziness. Oh, and by the way, I got the Karrion Kross mystery solved. Here's what was supposed to happen. And I predicted it. I said on the show this is what they're going to do, but it's not going to help. Karrion Kross is supposed to lose every match. He just can't get himself together. And why, you ask? Why does this NXT champion lose to everybody? Because Scarlett's not there. And then they're going to introduce Scarlett, and he's going to be an unstoppable force after Scarlett joins him. Well, that doesn't work. And the reason it does not work is, A, he always had Scarlett with him in NXT, so why wouldn't he have her with him in WWE? That's number one. Number two, you've already seen him get beaten and beaten and beaten, so now it's really no big deal. If he does win 25 matches in a row, people aren't going to be like, can't wait to see him lose because we've already seen him lose. That's the reverse Undertaker. In other words, the Undertaker comes out and you say, oh, look at the size of this man. He's Death Valley. Look at him. Is he even alive? Oh, he got pinned. Look at the creepy. He's so scary. Look at the size of him. He's a giant. Oh, he got pinned. And then after everybody in the Federation beats him twice, here comes Paul Bearer with an urn, and you say, he's unbeatable now. It wouldn't have worked. It would not have worked. So if that was your plan, it was a terrible plan. One of the worst I've ever heard of. A terrible story. But you have to be able to understand how to police yourself and say, this is a horrible story. You know, I've seen this happen before, not with wrestling, though. I've seen this happen with musicians. I'm a musician, and I've seen people in the studio say, I got a whole album coming out, and I got 13 songs or 14 songs written. And you listen to them, and you're like, yeah, you got two good ones. The rest of these are really sloppy, and, you know, they're not very good. Oh, no, they're all great. No, they're not. Yeah, but how about this one? Yeah, that one's really good. But what about all these other ones? This little charity album, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does matter. Yeah, it matters. Well, that's the WWE. We got one good angle. That'll carry the show. One good cut on the album. That's the WWE's philosophy. We got one good angle going to hell with the rest of the people. The rest is filler. You don't want that. That's taking no pride in what you do. You're basically saying, look, I worked really hard on these two songs, and these two songs are going to carry this album. I can't be bothered to work really hard on the other one, so I just put in a bunch of crap. Doesn't matter, because the only thing that's going to sell this album is these two songs. Wrong. That's how you build up a reputation for being crap. Well, that's what the WWE's done. No one's arguing that there's a couple of good angles. How come there isn't all good angles? How come you don't have a lot of stuff going on? Because you're lazy. And you found out, well, we could just bring back Goldberg and pipe in that the fans love them, even if Dolph Ziggler marks out and says, look at the fans cheering Goldberg. It's awful. I told you the WWE's on life support. And I mean it. I mean it sincerely. Let's go over to AEW for a moment because a lot of people wrote me and said, did you see Cody Rhodes retire? Yes, I saw Cody Rhodes retire. Cody Rhodes is not retired. Cody Rhodes has got to go do that Go Big Show or whatever the hell he's doing. That tape's in August. So he can't do that and wrestle. So he's going to be gone. This exact same thing happened with Brody Lee, remember? Brody Lee beat the hell out of him. He's gone for a while, and then he comes back. This is exactly what's going to happen. I warn you ahead of time. Do not be upset and do not go nutso if Cody Rhodes comes back and mops the floor with Malakai Black, because that's probably what the whole gimmick is going to be. Cody Rhodes isn't going to take a backseat to him. Cody Rhodes isn't going to be humiliated by him in a five-minute squash match and say, I get no revenge. He's going to get revenge. And then I know you fans are going to be all up in arms and say, oh, naturally, Cody's got to go over. Well, that's the story. If you don't like the story, then blame AEW because they wrote the story. That's the way it goes in wrestling. Usually the good guys eventually win. So, no, Mike, you know, Cody's not retired. And, you know, but here's the thing. Here's the difference between AEW and WWE. I bet you they wait until Cody comes back and Malakai Black is still going to be undefeated. WWE would have him losing to Jeff Hardy, waiting for Cody Rhodes to come back.
Right, and that's the thing, and that goes back to lack of continuity as well. I mean, let's talk about the continuity again. You mentioned it before, but I'm a big fan of what they call the Arrowverse, which is, you know, all the superhero shows on the CW, right? Now, each one of those shows has its own continuity, but here's the deal. That whole group of shows has its own continuity. So it's not just single shows, but the whole thing has its own continuity. And that's what the WWE doesn't do. You know, you can have continuity, you know, and you can have it on major basis and on consistent basis. I mean, you look at AEW and you look at a lot of it right now, while it's running so good, is it's got a lot of continuity to it, you know? And so you got that going on. Now, as far as AEW goes, yeah, you're right about the people they're signing. And hell, we've seen them get a million plus. If you have a couple people and you're now consistently getting a million plus, again, and the WWE isn't punching back, it's no longer a war.
Mike, I'm going to make a prediction. By the first of the year, AEW is going to break 1.3 to 1.4 by the first of the year, because there is no bigger WWE fan than me. I grew up in a time where WWE was wrestling, period, end of conversation. It was Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake Roberts and The Undertaker, and that's what wrestling was. When you start to lose me, then I can only imagine about the fans who are like, it's pretty good. I watch it here and there. No, you've lost them. You're hanging on right now to the hardcore, die-hard, stubborn, I don't care how bad it gets, I'm going to try to stay loyal to WWE fans. That's what you're hanging on to now, and you're starting to lose them. It's unbelievable to me that you can't see that. Do you not think that WWE fans that were in the attendance last week aren't going to go onto the internet and say no one was cheering Goldberg? We were all booing him, but the WWE wiped us out. You think the fans aren't going to go online and say we were chanting we want Wyatt and they turned us down? I went home and you know, watched the DVR. And this whole arena was chanting, we want Wyatt, and you could barely hear us because they turned our audio down. That's a slap in the face. That's a slap in the face to all those fans who paid their hard-earned money to come there and cheer and boo for who they wanted. That's called, we don't really want you doing this. You're inconveniencing us. Your presence here and your vocalness is inconveniencing us. Okay, well, if I'm such a big inconvenience, maybe I just won't come. you got a big problem with this. This is a PR disaster. You've got to let the fans, if the fans were chanting FU or something, I understand, you've got to block that out. It's national television. But why can't the fans boo and cheer who they want? And instead of you deciding who they're going to cheer for and boo, how about you take your cue from them and say, well, apparently they like this person. I thought they were going to boo him, but apparently they like him, so let's switch it around. That's what you did with The Undertaker, right? When The Undertaker was first introduced, he was the personification of death. And everyone said he's going to be this fearsome thing. Death itself, and everyone's afraid of death. So if somebody comes up against death and can conquer it, like our almighty Hulk Hogan has conquered death itself, and fans vicariously can say, Hulk Hogan conquered death, I can conquer death. You know, that's the whole gimmick. Hulk Hogan is going up against death itself and winning. Except you had a monkey wrench thrown in there. The fans thought it was a really cool character, and they started cheering him. So instead of piping in boos for The Undertaker, what did you do? You had the announcers start to say, this guy has a following. It's weird. He's got this cult-like following of people, and they dress and like him, and they're, you know, he has his fans. And then pretty soon, when you couldn't ignore the fact that about 85% of the audience was cheering for him, you said, okay, well, we're past the point of no return. We got to flip him. And you did. And look what you gained. Stone Cold Steve Austin came in. And he was the biggest badass going. And people are like, everybody knows a loudmouth, drunk redneck who won't shut up. Everybody knows a bully who's, I'm the best there is, and you can shut your mouth, and I don't need any of you damn people. Everybody knows somebody like that. Big bully, loudmouth, drunk. And they thought, well, they'll definitely boo him, and we'll get all these people over by having them fight Steve Austin. And everyone will be like, I can't wait to see that bastard get his ass kicked. He's such a drunk, redneck son of a bitch. No. They started cheering him. And after a while, they said, well, we can't ignore this. The fans are all cheering him. In today's WWE, you just pipe in the boos for Steve Austin, and you never had Stone Cold Steve Austin. In today's era, you'd have just pumped in the boos for The Undertaker, and you never would have had The Undertaker. You don't get it. The fans are your barometer, asshats. When they're booing Goldberg, it's not because they hate Goldberg. It's not because they say, I hope Goldberg, breaks his leg and can't wrestle anymore. Nobody's doing that. Nobody hates Goldberg as a person. I like Goldberg. I've done my homework on Goldberg. Goldberg's a charitable man. He's a nice guy. I don't want to see him wrestle anymore because he's no longer any good at it. So we're booing him. When we boo him, we're not really booing him. We're booing the fact that you're bringing up a 50-some-odd-year-old guy because you got nothing. And you don't understand that as a federation, that we're not booing the actual guy. And apparently Ronda Rousey doesn't understand that when people are chanting, we want beach balls during a Bray Wyatt match, it's because you have booked Bray Wyatt so badly against an opponent that it makes no sense what's happening, that they say, well, if this is the way you're going to use Bray Wyatt, I'd just rather pass around a beach ball. I don't know of any fans who say, yeah, I mean, Bray Wyatt has his detractors who say he's not a great wrestler. But I don't know any fans who say he should leave. He's just good. He's gone. I'm so happy. That was a really creative guy. It's not his fault that the WWE mishandled the whole ball of wax twice. Twice. So I don't know, folks. AEW has absolutely got, you know what it is? Like a football game. And you're just past that last defenseman and all you see is the end zone. And maybe you still got 40 yards to run it, but there's nobody really in sight that can bring you down. You got a wide open field. So now unless you stumble and fall, you're going to score. So let's see. Now I'm going to say something else that's aggravating. Fans themselves have gotten all over AEW because of a dark, one of their dark AEW After Dark shows, I guess in which there was a rape thing mentioned or something that they thought was in bad taste. And fans immediately said, oh, that's terrible. And Tony Khan apologized and said, we're going to monitor all the content from now on that's on the dark and stuff. And then some fans wrote in and said, you fans are so fucking stupid because you say you want attitude, but then when they give you attitude, you cry and whine. It's not the fans' fault, really, this time. We have built an entire new fan base of snowflake fans. It's Tony Khan's fault, and I'll tell you why it's Tony Khan's fault. Tony Khan should have went on television and said, if you don't like it and you think it was offensive or you think it was something that you took umbrage to, don't watch. Because every time somebody complains, we're not changing our programming for you. Wrestling is not a politically correct form of entertainment. And if you're easily offended, then perhaps you should rethink whether you want to watch professional wrestling. If Tony Khan had said that, I would have been the biggest AEW fan going. Instead, he apologizes. Oh, we're so sorry. Please give us another chance to be the moral arbiters of the world. Just please. You know, it makes me want to throw up. Meanwhile, UFC, Dana White, being asked, mandatory vaccines now for all athletes and things. Oh, are you going to institute it? He said, never gonna happen. What if the government said, never gonna happen? Well, what happens if fans think it's never gonna happen? That's called taking a firm stance. Oh, there's some fans who think that's a terrible thing. Don't watch. Don't watch. I just can't believe that Tony Khan has to bow before the mob. This is the equivalent of fumbling the football with the open field. You have got to take a stand, Tony. I know that's not your strong point. I see where you're going with this. You're about the most politically correct person in the world. But you say you're a wrestling fan. You say, I grew up and I just loved wrestling. Well, really? Well, did you love it when it was politically incorrect, Tony? Because that's what it was. How come you're trying to change it so much? Oh, it's a new day. It's a new era. It's a new fan base. No. Get your old fan base back. Tell them to go F themselves. If you don't like what we produce, don't watch it. But we're not changing it for your sensitive taste because you want to be a Karen in the snowflake and complain about everything we do. That's the stance to take, Todd. And until AEW takes that, I'm not sure they score.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about the controversy this past week on Dark on their YouTube channel. I thought their show on YouTube was more like uncensored or anything to get away with stuff. Apparently not.
Apparently not. You're absolutely right. And Mike, how is AEW fans screaming for censorship, but they want CM Punk to grab a mic?
That's right. You know, and that's the thing. You know, you don't. This is the guy who's famous for, well, the pipe bomb, right? I mean, they even made a big. I've gone back and I've talked to you about the whole thing about when they want the whole Raw walkout deal, and one of that all these guys did. It was, we knew it was a gimmick, but when he came out and he said his little spiel on that, and what you call, and Triple H goes, I want you to do commentary in this match, and I've got a whole table of microphones and pipe bombs waiting for you. That's a shot. That's a thing, you know. And that was a big deal in my mind for that gimmick because. That was the deal. And that, like you said, why are you, I mean, I guarantee you if the NWA was bigger, I guarantee you that Billy Corgan, coming from where he's come from, wouldn't take shit, you know?
No, I agree with you there, too. This is the thing. We're going to see how this plays out because AEW, if you're going to take that next step, If I was advising AEW right now, I would tell Tony Khan, you don't have to go berserk. You don't have to be ECW and go nutso and call people names and drop F-bombs and everything. But if you want to break that barrier of 1.2, 3, 4, 5 million, you got to stop apologizing. You got to stop trying to be politically correct. You got to stop trying to be the woke federation and just go for the juggler. Just go for it. Be that federation that is unapologetic. I want to see Tony Khan come out and say, I'm not apologizing for the pizza cutter incident. We didn't intentionally put the Domino's commercial right after it. That was an unfortunate turn of events. But here's the thing. Domino's don't like it. Don't advertise. Instead of saying, we're never going to do anything like that again. Well, now you've just showed all the fans, okay, you're not going to do anything like that again. How about if I liked that match and said, I wish they'd do more of that? Then there ain't no point in me watching it because you've already said you're not going to do it anymore. You can't do this, Tony. You have the world in the palm of your hand right now because Vince McMahon has stopped fighting. He's old. He's tired. He's stopped. The rest of the people in his trust, they're incompetent. So you have the ball in your court. Don't drop it by trying to be a politically correct putz. Go for the juggler and tell people, you don't like it, go watch WWE where everything, you know, that's what I would do. I'd say, if you don't like any of this stuff, go watch WWE where everything is so boring and plain every single week, because we're not going to be like that. And you'll gain a lot more fans than you lose. Maybe you'll lose a half a dozen snowflakes. Maybe you'll lose 500-600 people. But you'll probably gain 5,000 because people say, you go. That's what I want to hear from a wrestling owner. We're going for the juggler. We're not going to cater to the snowflakes. That's what I want to hear. Tony Khan had to come out and made that statement. I'd be like, well, let me go get an AEW t-shirt because I guess now I'm going to be their fan. Instead, he's stumbling all over themselves going, I'm sorry. Maybe we went too far. I'll make sure I monitor all content to suit your delicate tastes. No. No. So we've got an interesting war here. One's not fighting, and the other's punching with Nerf gloves. And not really doing any damage. Oh, they're stealing all their people, but again, you know, I do think Bad News Brown made a good point when he says how many people's going to come in before the their own people feel a little disenfranchised. And the Sammy Guevaras and the MJFs and the Jungle Boys are like, well, you got all these guys. I'm not getting much TV time. What's going on? It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. So I don't know, Mike. You know, again, this is going to be a very interesting war because one's not fighting and the other's wearing kid gloves.
Right. And really what AEW needs to have is they have to have the old Ted DiBiase loaded glove. Instead of having Nerf gloves, have a boxing glove with an anvil in it, you know?
That's it. They got to go for the knockout.
The guy and you knock the guy out, you know? You know, and that's the thing. It's not like Vince is fighting back anyway, so, I mean, and he doesn't want to fight back. It's almost to the point of whether or not, you know, I'd almost rather see Triple H take over somebody else or Shane or Stephanie or somebody other than Vince, because Vince don't care anymore. And that
reminds me of a boxing match. The one guy is literally wobbling, you know, has dropped his guard and is almost down. And instead of going for the knockout punch, you back off into a corner and say, you know, I'll wait for him to regain his composure. Well, what are you doing? AEW has WWE on the ropes. I never thought I would say this, but they really do. And I know there's going to be fans who say, oh, the WWE does double the ratings. I know. But I'm telling you that I see, not from the standpoint of talent, from a business standpoint, I see the business of WWE collapsing. I see people who aren't paying attention to contracts. I see people who aren't paying attention to continuity. I see a locker room of people who don't have feel like they have any job security. I see a man who is well into his 70s and seems to be losing his either his abilities or designating his abilities to people who aren't at all talented. And now is the time. This is the weakest point I've seen the WWE at. I mean, they released Samoa Joe, did not even mention it to Triple H, who says, what do you mean Samoa Joe's gone? Well, I'm going to go rehire him. What? Is that how a functioning company does business? Think about that for a minute. Is that a sign of total dysfunction or not? The WWE is dysfunctional right now as a business. If I were an investor in this business, I would be worried. If I had huge amounts of stock in this business, I would be worried, even though they're saying, oh, we're getting the best revenue we've ever gotten. I'd still be worried about a huge plunge, and I'll tell you why. Because the vultures are circling. We see what's happening. Vince has gotten older. He's not paying attention anymore. The people who he's paid to pay attention, they're all just yes men. They can't handle it by themselves. And when they're given the responsibility to handle it by themselves, they fail. They absolutely fail. We got a problem. WWE's got a big problem. Now, the whole wrestling business has a big problem. This is the last segment of the show we'll do. I know we ran a little over. The whole wrestling business has a big problem in this. Now I'm hearing SummerSlam may not go on as planned. New restrictions, more COVID stuff is coming, and maybe we won't be able to do SummerSlam in Nevada. Tony Khan is wringing his hands worried. Maybe we won't be able to do our show in Chicago. I don't know what to tell you, folks. But I will tell you this. If you go back to March 2020 and you close this country down and the wrestling business has to go back to wrestling in front of no one or people on a TV screen, it's over. Plain and simple. Because we clearly saw that there are people who cannot really do their job without that fan support. Now, the WWE, they'll say, oh, it's not over. We'll just go back to the Thunderdome and pipe in the noise we want. And then your ratings are going to go to 1.3, 1.2, 1.1, 1 million. Pretty soon, wrestling fans are just going to say, I give up. It's not fun anymore. See, here was the thing about wrestling. Wrestling was never about anything other than fun. You watched it because it was fun to watch. It was exciting to watch. It's not fun. The WWE is not fun anymore. There's nothing fun in the WWE. What's fun? So now you're left down to exciting. Well, very little is exciting. Very, very little is exciting in the WWE. So if you're neither fun nor exciting, now my assumption is you're watching because you're a creature of habit. And you've always watched it, so you're going to just continue to watch it because it's like brushing your teeth. But eventually you're going to say, what am I wasting my time for? And if you lose these fans, because the ones you have now, these aren't your fair weather fans. These are your die hard, I will go to my grave watching wrestling fans. You were doing 3 million in the Attitude Era. Where'd all those fans go? Now you're lucky to do 1.5 or 2. Where'd those million plus fans go? Can you afford to lose another million plus? How about if you lose another million? And now SmackDown's doing 1.3 million and Raw's doing what? 600,000? Can you afford to do that? Todd, if this thing goes into lockdown again and no more live shows, I don't know. I think the wrestling business in general is in for a rough time.
you're absolutely right there, like you said. If it just goes, if the country goes down and lockdown again, the wrestling business is screwed. Technically, will be no more.
I don't see how to survive another year of that, Mike.
Yeah, you really can't, you know, and that's the thing. And I believe that the Rhodeses know this. I believe that Billy Corgan knows this. I believe that, you know, the people that own TNA Impact know it. I believe Vince knows it, but he doesn't care. You know?
Well, Vince is just so arrogant that I think he thinks, oh, go back to the Thunderdome. We get to control who gets cheered and who gets booed. That doesn't sound like a bad thing. I made tons of money during the pandemic. Okay. At this stage of the game, I think the fun is gone for Vince McMahon out of the wrestling business. I think in one time, Vince McMahon was having just as much fun as the fans. At one point in time, I think Vince McMahon was a fan, and he's just like, I know what the fans want because I am a fan. I love it. It's my life. But he got to the point where he's so filthy rich and he's gotten old, and he's just saying to me, now it's just my business. It's just, you know, it's just something that makes me money. As long as the money's coming in, I don't really care. And maybe it's time to rethink what you're going to do, because I don't see Triple H as being the heir apparent. I don't see him. If Triple H is so good, again, why is Adam Cole's contract expired and nobody knows it? Why is Pete Dunne's contract expired and nobody knows it? What the hell are you doing down there, Triple H? What kind of business are you running? That's ludicrous. So I don't think Triple H is ready to take over anything. I don't know who is ready to take over. Maybe Tony Khan will buy him out. He's slowly doing it anyway. Then they'll be the only game in town. Mark my words. If Disney can buy out the WWE, and there was a big rumor, Disney made WWE a huge offer. If Disney has the money to buy him out, Tony Khan's father does. Trust me on that. And if they see, because I think Tony Khan's dad sort of like tried to appease his son and just said, oh, you want to run a wrestling federation for a year or so? Go ahead. It probably won't lose too much money, and maybe you'll even, you know, break even. And now all of a sudden he's seeing, well, maybe we're going to do a little better than break even here. If they start getting big ratings, he might say, well, geez, I didn't see this coming. How do we now take this to the next step? And while I don't think his son has the ability or the finances to do it, his dad does. Should be very interesting, the wrestling business in the next, oh, I don't know, let's say till the beginning of the year. But if I look through my crystal ball right now and nothing changes, you're going to see AEW rise in the ratings. You're going to see WWE drop. And you may see a new era in the world of professional wrestling. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.